Ladies and gentlemen, that phone bell means adventure.
Hello? Hello.
The young man answering the phone is Archie Goodwin. And the mountain of a man engaged in deep thought in the oversized armchair is Nero Wolfe.
What was that? Somebody's going to be murdered who has no manners? Well, what do you want Nero Wolfe to do? Teach him manners? Oh. Hold on. Mr. Wolfe.
Yes, Archie?
We've got a prospective client. In case someone she knows gets murdered, she'd like you to do something about it.
Very well, however, advise her.
Yes?
Not to get murdered herself. I never take a corpse for a client.
Greatest detective in the world.
Yes, Archie is so right. He is the greatest detective in the world. And the fattest. And the least energetic. He's Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you over this NBC network in a new series of adventures by Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight is the case of the impolite corpse. It began on a certain night at 8:40 when Walter Channing, an advertising executive, was dictating in his office to his charming secretary, Brenda Barclay.
Brenda, take a memo.
Yes, Mr. Channing.
This is to be mimeographed and sent to the entire staff.
The entire staff, yes, sir.
Notice, effective at once, 1 hour lunch periods will be strictly enforced. Employees will post time of departure and time of return. Yes, what is it?
Mr. Channing...
Brenda, I'm busy.
But I've got to see you, Mr. Channing, about this afternoon.
This afternoon was unfortunate, Bennett, but it happened.
I lost my temper. I'm sorry.
So am I.
Mr. Channing, I've been with the firm 14 years, and I... Well, because a man blows up once in 14 years...
Mr. Channing's office.
Oh, you've got to reconsider. That's all, Mr. Channing.
I never reconsider, Bennett.
It's your wife.
But, Mr. Channing...
That will be all, Bennett.
It won't be all. You can't wipe out 14 years of a man's life... Even you can't do that, Channing.
It's Mrs. Channing on the phone.
Oh. Hello? You're where? That's in this building. Since when has Dr. Ellis kept evening office hours? I told you there's nothing wrong with you. No, I can't. I don't know when I'll be through. And I don't want you hanging around up here. Well, take a cab or walk. I don't care what you do. What? I can't understand you. What? Goodbye, Doris. Where was I?
Walter.
Yes?
You are going to reconsider about Tom Bennett, aren't you?
Bennett was insolent this afternoon. I won't tolerate insolence. Yes?
Shine, Mr. Channing?
Shine? No! What's he doing down here this time of night?
Half the staff's working overtime. Carroll's an enterprising shoeshine boy. Might have missed someone on his rounds this afternoon. Walter, about Tom Bennett.
Forget Bennett! Oh.
Look, you upset the inkwell.
Oh. Quick, blot the stuff.
Yes, of course. Did any spill on you?
Spot at my trouser cuff. Lucky you didn't get on the carpet.
Walter, about Tom Bennett.
I told you to forget Bennett.
All right, Walter, all right.
No, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you'd be better off to use him as a model.
A model?
If he knows he's not wanted around here, he'll have the self-respect to get out.
Meaning?
Well... You've known for a long time you're not wanted. And you're still here.
How you'd like to fire me.
Denying that would be silly.
I've been with this firm 15 years in January. Employees get a bonus of stock shares after 15 years' service. That's what I'm waiting for, and you know it.
Suppose we get back to that memorandum.
You'd like to get me out before I collect those shares, wouldn't you?
I said let's get on with the memo.
You'd be petty enough to do it, too, if you knew how.
There may be a way.
There isn't, and you know it. I'm too careful. You can't fire me without cause, and I've given you no cause, Walter. Nothing you can possibly dictate one of your vicious little memorandums about.
Don't try my patience too far, Brenda.
Walter, what? This can't be us talking like this, you and me hating each other.
I find it remarkable there ever was anything between us except hate.
Walter.
I mean it. Look at you. You were flashy when I met you. You're getting flashier. Acne's cheaper, Brenda.
Stop it.
Too much lipstick? Too much rouge? Hair too bright? Dress too tight? You're trying too hard, Brenda. You're labeling yourself like a sound wagon.
I wonder what it is that stops me from killing you.
Cowardice, of course. Now, when you stop sniveling, we'll get on with a memorandum. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Notice. In the interest of economy and efficiency, junior executives will confer in the conference room, not in private offices. Mid-afternoon coffee and personal phone calls and daily shoe shines will be eliminated.
Your name is Barkley, Brenda Barkley. Very well, Miss Barkley, what can I do for you?
Mr. Wolf, I don't know how to begin.
Well, maybe I can make this easier all around by briefing Mr. Wolf on the Walter Channing case. Hey, that's funny.
What?
Violet eyes. I always thought there was something the poets made up.
Archie.
Huh? Oh, the Channing case, yes.
One moment, Miss Barkley, look this way, please. To me, an eye is functional object found in mammals, birds, fish, potatoes, and horticulture. Thank you. Go on, Archie.
Walter Channing was the boy wonder of advertising. At 33, executive vice president of Winslow Hart and Stradmeyer. Just 24 hours ago, they found him at his desk, shot through the heart.
They? Who is they?
A night porter and a shoeshine boy, is that right?
Yes.
He'd been dead about an hour. The bullet went through Channing, his desk chair, and lodged in the windowsill behind him. Police thought at first it was suicide.
The gun?
.38, found it on the floor, 10 feet away. No fingerprints, anyhow, no clear ones.
Seldom are on a gun, but you say suicide was suspected. Why? The gun was 10 feet from the body.
It was the smudges.
Smudges?
Powder burns. According to the papers, he was sitting at his desk. There were no signs of a struggle. The gun was held against his chest and fired.
But it wasn't suicide, Mr. Wolf. Walter Channing would never have killed himself.
The police have already decided that, finally, according to the evening papers.
And I presume you, Miss Barkley, are a suspect.
No, not yet.
But you expect to be. That's why you came to me.
When the police talked to her, I...
Her?
Doris, his wife. I've been Walter Channing's secretary for 8 years. At one time, we thought we were in love.
Mrs. Channing was aware of this?
Yes. Oh, it was a long time ago. It was over. It was finished a long time ago, but she never believed that. Neither did Alan.
Alan who?
Alan Melick, head of the media department at the agency. We were going to be married when Walter and I... Well,
decided you were in love. Miss Barkley, who finally decided you were not? You or Mr. Channing?
He did.
I see. Mr. Melick believes you did not share this change of heart.
Yes. Oh, he's such a fool.
I dare say you fear Mrs. Channing or Mr. Melick or both will reveal this ill-fated romance.
You know what the papers will make of it, what the police will try to make of it.
Miss Barkley, did you kill Channing?
No. Oh, no, I swear I didn't. Oh, Mr. Wolf, I didn't.
Please, for heaven's sake, no tears. Archie, put her in a cab.
Yes, sir.
Then come up to the farm room. There are some things I want you to execute for me.
Yes, sir.
Some women. Bah!
Yes, Mr. Dunlop, I'm Abe Jackson, a night porter. I was working late that night. Mr. Channon, his secretary, Mr. Bennett, Mr. Melick, and his secretary. About 10:30, I met the shoeshine, Kelly, on Mr. Channon's floor. There was a light burning in the Channon's place. We went in to turn it off, Kelly and me, and there he was, sitting at his desk, a hole as big in his chest.
Tell me, Mr. Bennett, did Channing have any enemies in the agency?
Channing was a slave, rather, Mr. Gibbon. The girls hated him and men were afraid of him. He'd send out memos like this one around. Here, take a look at it. It's typical. No coffee, no shoe shines, no office conferences. If you want my opinion, as one employee out of 150, whoever killed Walter Channing did the rest of us a favor.
You're Amy Long, secretary to Alan Melick. Now, what can you
tell... I can tell you plenty. How she jilted Mr. Melick, took up with Mr. Channing, got thrown over by him. I wouldn't go so far as to say Brenda Barkley would murder anyone. But if she did, Walter Channing would be 1A.
Channing get his shoes shined on you?
They called the agency men, sir.
You know, it was Jackson and me found him. Everyone else had gone and left himself, poor soul, sitting at his desk, dead.
This specimen, the Monomous Train Orchid. Beautiful, isn't it, Mrs. Channing? Mr. Miller?
I could never quite like orchids. They have no smell, you know.
It's pretty all right, but tulips are more in my line, Mr. Wolf.
Tulips, Mr. Miller?
I had to stand at Emperor's this spring.
Emperor's, come in, Archie. Emperor's, Mr. Miller?
That's the name of a tulip, Mr. Wolf.
A peasant flower, I've heard of it, of course. Archie. Mrs. Channing, Mr. Merrick, my assistant, Mr. Goodman.
Didn't know you had company.
Mr. Wolf asked us here to explain why Brenda Barkley is worried.
And you have both agreed to respect her position.
Brenda ought to know I'd never tell the police anything to get her into trouble.
Fooey.
Sir? He said fooey, Mr. Merrick, meaning he doubts what you say and does not admit your right to say it.
Archie, Mr. Merrick, you say you would never intentionally inform on Miss Barkley.
Certainly not.
The tongue slips, sir. We would expect you to guard yours.
What? Do you think
what
that...
I started to say. You asked us here because Brenda Barkley is your client. I despise Miss Barkley. Everyone knows that and why. But I wouldn't stoop to implicating her in murder.
You believe her innocent then, Mrs. Channing?
I believe she lacks the gumption to pull a trigger. Poison, I wouldn't put past her at all. Mr. Meelick, would you be kind enough to see me home?
Of course, Mrs. Channing. Good day, Mr. Wolf.
Good day.
And Mr. Goodwin?
You have, I see.